Hey, how many of y'all know we blessed with this worship team up here? Come on, y'all. Like, yeah. Outlaws and legends ain't got nothing on the Bethel Assembly over here, just saying. And we're doing it for the Lord. Come on, somebody. No, it's so good to be here, man. Glad you're here. Thanks for coming out on a good old chilly morning. And so let me just welcome you. Let me start by saying Happy New Year. It's the first time I got to see you and the first time we're getting to worship in our new facility in 2025. How many of you know 2025 is going to be an outstanding year? It's going to be an outstanding year, yeah. I love new years. I love new things. We're going to talk about new things, new year. And so this last couple of weeks, we've been branding calves. And when you brand calves, you're dragging calves. And I love a new rope, man. Some people like an old one, but I like a new one. It just feels good, a new rope. And somebody gets a new vehicle. Everybody loves new vehicles. Boy, somebody pulls up a new vehicle. Everybody runs out there to smell the inside of it, to look at it. New things, you know, new church building, new experiences. My boys, I got two boys, the drummer and the bass player, and they lives with us forever, and then they will give me this haircut in case y'all were wondering. I'm just saying, that's why I ain't rocking no cap today. I'm trying to do some advertising for Slick Willie over there. River Oaks Barbershop, voted number one barbershop in Abilene. So, and he won't cut your hair like this, I promise, if you go over there. My boys left, man. They grew up and they left me at home, and they left me at home with two women, Tubby and Clara. Talking about new things, I'm coming to find out they love new clothes, man. I'm telling you, two or three times a week they come home in new clothes. And everything they buy, it was a bargain and it was on the sale rack. You know what I'm saying? New stuff, man. And we got to learn to embrace new things and new ideas because new things always create new opportunities. And we have to be careful because we're people and we live in the flesh and we're creatures of habit. And this is the way my granddaddy did it. And this is the way my daddy did it. And this is the way that I've always done it. Sometimes we want to get in this old mindset, old mentality, and we don't want to embrace the new things. And you and I got to understand new things create new opportunities. And how many of you know God has been good to us in our past? Can somebody say yes? But God is going to be greater to us in the future. We just have to be open to new ideas and new things. I want to get our minds thinking towards newness, new things. Did you know that actually our God is a God of new things? He talks about pouring out new wine into new wineskins. He talks about one day we're going to have a new heaven and we're going to have a new earth. And when we get to that new heaven, we're going to sing new songs. And some of y'all are going to be ticked off about it. We're going to sing new songs. We're going to get a new name. We're going to get a new body. Praise the Lord. We have this guide that we go by. It's called the New Testament. We live under the new covenant. I want to challenge you. Look at me. Look, look, look. Let's begin right now today of saying I'm looking forward in 2025 to some new things. I'm not going to be an old sore head. I'm not going to be an old stick in the mud. I'm not going to be an old creature of habit. My mind and my heart is open to the new things of God. Having said that, let's pray. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, speak to people in this room that are hungry, that are ready for more, that trust you and believe you. And even though we may not understand it all, and it may not all make sense to us right now, God, we know you are in our future and you have great plans for us. Let us have new minds and new hearts. We love you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Having said that, I want to introduce you to our new sermon series for 2025. It's called Moments. You see it on the screen, Moments. Everybody shout Moments. Moments, the very definition of moments is this. It's just a particular time, or it's this period it happened of importance, of significance, or of great value. These moments that we look back over our lives and we go, wow, I had a moment with my wife. Wow, I had a moment with my kids. Wow, I had a moment with God. You see, I really believe this, that in order for us to go forward, sometimes we have to look back. We have to look back and draw strength and motivation and encouragement from these special times of importance or these special moments of significance in our life. These moments that we have, these sacred moments, these special moments, that they're built into our memory. Can I tell you that God knew what he was doing when he created you and I with a memory bank so that we could remember how good that he's been? These moments and our memories are a gift from God. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. I really believe one of the greatest gifts God has given us is the ability to remember these moments. See, even Jesus understood this. Even Jesus understood it's Jesus's last few days on the earth. And we're going to read scripture where Jesus takes his 12 disciples, his 12 closest friends. He takes them to an upper room where supper has been prepared, and they sit down at this table together. Jesus knows these are his final moments with his closest friend, and he wants to create a moment around the supper table where later on in life they can draw strength and remember that time. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read it. Paul's writing. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23 through 25, Paul says, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, and the night that he was betrayed, he took some bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. Remember this. You're going to sit down and eat after I'm gone. You're going to break some bread after I'm gone. Remember this. Remember what my broken body stands for. Remember this moment we had together. And in the same way, after they had eaten, he took the cup and he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it. Do it in remembrance of me. Remember this blood. See, I'm telling you, Jesus is about to be arrested. These 12 men have walked with Jesus for the last 3 years. They have been close to him. He was their pastor. He was their friend. Jesus is about to be arrested. He's about to be falsely accused. He is ultimately going to be nailed to a cross and murdered. These 12 guys, their life is about to change forever. And you will never, ever convince me that about 6 months after Jesus was dead and gone, their memory didn't go back to that night when they were sitting in the upper room and they said this was a sacred moment and Jesus told us it was going to all work out. You're not going to tell me that special moment didn't give them strength and encouragement when they're facing some of their darkest times. We have to have these moments. It's Apostle Paul writing in the book of Philippians. I love what he says. He's in prison. He's in prison. He's been arrested for preaching the gospel. They threw him in prison, and he writes a letter back to the church. Philippians 1:3. Paul writes this letter to the church and he says, I thank God in all my remembrance of you. He's telling them, man, I'm in the prison and my life sucks right now. But I remember you, Chachi. I remember the time we talked. I remember when you, Coach, first came to church over there. I remember Tammy and Reggie. I remember Bo. He's saying to the people, I remember the moments when I tied the knot with y'all, two raps and a hooey, man. He's saying, I remember the moments I spent with my friends, and it gives me courage, even in prison, to keep pressing on. Moments and memories that we have with one another. Our children are so good at remembering these memories and these moments. Our children are so good. Can I tell you, y'all, be good to your kids and love your kids, and you can buy them cool clothes, and you can take them to the cool places, but I'm telling you, you know what your kids are going to remember more than anything? Just the time you spent loving on them and the time you spent getting in the floor with them. The moments children come together at family meals, at gatherings, and kids will say, my kids are 23, 20, and 13, and my boys still say stuff like this. Hey, Dad, you remember when? You remember when we were out working cattle and we rope that yearling and your horse got jerked. And say, hey, Dad, you remember when we were in Colorado up there and we were, and Clara will say, hey, Mama, you remember? Our kids are great at remembering these moments. They're special to these kids. These moments are in our memory. They're like bank deposits. We put them in our mind, and when we need them in the future, we can draw from them and reflect on them. So I'm going to tell you what we're going to do for the next 18 weeks. I've never preached a sermon series this long. For the next 18 weeks, we're going to open up the Word of God. We're going to start in Genesis, and we're going to go all the way to the end in Revelation, and we're going to take out 18 moments, things that happened, boom, that changed the course of everything. I'm going to give you just a little bit of our graphics up here so to let you know, like this dove up here. This dove represents when Jesus got baptized. Remember John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and the Bible said heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit came and lit on Jesus. Can I tell you, when you and I do things that God has asked us to do, when we are obedient to the calling of God, heaven will open up and he'll pour out his Spirit upon us. The second one down here is the fire of Pentecost, the fire of Holy Spirit when the church was birthed. The top one up here is the fish. You remember after Jesus had been crucified and resurrected, and he was sitting on the seashore one day, and he had a fire going, and the disciples were fishing, and he hollered at them. He said, come sit down by this campfire and let's have breakfast together. We're going to talk about the importance of eating meals together. The bottom one is the birth of Jesus. And how babies being born, how special that is and how it changes our world. The middle graphic, if you can see it, it's a hand reaching up for the fruit. And out of the limb is the serpent, a snake about to reach and bite. That signifies the fall of man. Because sometimes moments are great and fun, but sometimes we gave in to the temptation of the enemy and we found ourselves broke, busted, and disgusted, and it turned into a moment where everything changed for us. So we're going to look at all these different moments in Scripture. So for the rest of the day today, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to share with you some moments in my life, some moments over the last years, moments in my whole life that really touched me, moments that I have drawn strength from, moments with people and moments with God. And one of the first things I want to tell you about this, it's about my old granddaddy Red. He was my daddy's daddy. Granddaddy Red, he is a handful. He is redheaded, about that tall, and he was a little shady sometimes. Granddaddy Red got saved later in life. He was married to my nanny, Nanny Cherry, and they were just cool and fun. And one of the memories I have growing up with Granddaddy Red was this. He loved breakfast. I'm talking about big breakfast. Like any time we spent the night over there, I mean, he'd be up early in the morning and he would have them old big cat head biscuits. He'd have sausage and bacon and gravy and hash browns, butter and lots of honey, eggs and black coffee. I mean, he loved it. And he'd say, y'all get in here now. Y'all come on before this goes getting cold. Come on, let's sit down. We had to go to the table. You know, you didn't get to go sit in your room. You didn't get to go sit in the TV tray. You had to come sit down at the supper table, the breakfast table. And we'd get in there, and my grandmother's name was Cherry. Her name was Cherry Don is what her name was. She was the coolest granny ever, I'm telling you. She got married when she was about 13, so I don't know. She's young anyway. I mean, she was the coolest granny. She always had the cool cat eye glasses. She dressed the best, had the best hair, drove a big, long, red Lincoln, smoked the longest cigarette you ever seen. She was the coolest granny ever. And Granddaddy Red, he'd get all that stuff out on the table, and he'd say, now, Cherry Don, get in here and get them biscuits buttered, Cherry Don. We want that butter to melt on it. But come on, Cherry Don. She'd get in there and butter everybody's biscuits, and we'd sit down. Granddaddy Red made the best fried eggs ever. Come on, somebody. There was no Pam spray in the bottom of a Teflon pan. It was cast iron with about that much Crisco in the bottom of it. Come on, somebody. And you didn't dare stick that spatula in there and turn that egg over. You just splashed that hot grease up on top of that yellow and cooked it just right. Moments, man, I just remember those moments. It stuck with me. This is family. This is important. And unfortunately, my granddaddy Red died before my kids ever got to know him. But I tell my kids, when Jennifer and I got married, it was a big deal. We had kids who said, we're going to have breakfast on Saturday. We're going to have biscuits, gravy, hash browns, sausage. We're going to have it all. I say, Jennifer, Tubby, get in here and butter them biscuits. She said, you butter them biscuits yourself, big boy. You cook them. And we get the kids in there, though. My kids never knew Granddaddy Red, but I told them about Granddaddy Red. I told them all the stories, and I told them all the things. And sometimes we'd be at the breakfast table, and I'd say, Kids, y'all know who this reminds me of this morning? They'd grin from ear to ear, and they'd look at me, and they'd say, Granddaddy Red, right, Daddy? I said, yes, Granddaddy, just moments, man, that were so special, just little things. I'll tell you about another moment that I had. It always is kind of a great memory to me, and it's Stanford Rodeo, Texas Cowboy Reunion. When I was a kid, man, I grew up going up there, and we're on to the slack, staying all day long, and man, I watched my heroes rope and rodeo up there, and I dreamed of growing up and competing there someday. And so in 1993, I was 20 years old, and I entered all the events at the TCR. I entered the calf roping, the team roping, the wild cow milking, the ranch bronc riding, the wild mare race, and the double mugging. Me and my friend Billy Lamb entered a double mugging together. In case you don't know what double mugging is, tie down roping is where one cowboy ropes a calf, gets off his horse, goes, throws the calf down, ties three legs up, quickest time wins. Double mugging, kind of for the cowboys, though, ranch guys, though, because them mugging yearlings weigh about 700-800, and it took two of you. One guy would rope, two of you would get off, go down there and throw the big yearling down, tie three legs, quickest time wins. So we entered that thing over there, and me and Billy won, placed in the first round, placed in the second round, and we won the saddle over there in the double mugging that year. It was like my dream came true. It was very prestigious back in the day. You could only ever win the saddle one time, and that happened to me. It was a great moment, but I'm going to tell you, that was not the most powerful moment that happened to me that night. The most special moment that night was at the awards ceremony. It was Saturday night after they'd given us our saddle. I had my horse saddle. I'm standing there at the awards ceremony. And here she come walking around and back behind the chutes. Red Rocky Mountain jeans. Hallelujah. Bring them back, Lord. No pockets in the back, flap around the front. Woo! She had a pair of Justin Ropers on and a little belt buckle she bought down at Farm and Ranch. It was in the 90s, buddy. That hair was jacked up that high, big rollers in it. Here she come. Here came Tubby that night. She came walking around there. She later told me, she said, I come around there hunting me a champion cowboy, and I picked out the best looking one back there. Yeah, that's kind of how the story went. The rest of that is history, and so every year when the 4th of July comes around and we talk about Stanford Rodeo and we talk about Texas Cowboy Reunion, you know, it just makes us think of that night where we met, and she's now been my wife for 26 years. And so, yeah, special, sacred little moments that encourage you and inspire you. I'm going to tell you about one more story, and then I'll be done. This is about when I had an encounter with God. When I had this encounter where it's like my eyes were opened up, it was at Glad Tidings Assembly of God in Abilene, Texas. And it's where Jennifer and her parents went to church. And I grew up going to church. I grew up going to the Baptist church. And I'm not knocking them. I'm thankful that my family took me to church. I'm thankful there was a foundation laid there. I didn't understand it at that age. But looking back now, I see the Lord was doing some stuff. And I'm very thankful for that. But that church was really, really boring, really, really mundane, lifeless, and it didn't have a whole lot of passion. It really seemed like a lot of times we were just doing it to check the box because that's what we're supposed to do. I'm thankful I got saved in that church. I felt the Lord move in that church, but I just never did fit in at that church. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like the way that they dressed, man, I just didn't get it. The way that they talked, the words that they used, the way that that church was decorated, the music that they sang, I just never fit into that deal. I mean, like I was used to going to the rodeo or to the Jody Nix dance, man. Let's have some fun. And all of a sudden on Sunday, we got to change it all and get real serious. You know what I'm saying? So after that night, that sacred moment in Stanford, and I met Jennifer, we kind of started dating. And she asked me one Sunday, a few weeks later, to go to church with her. And I went. I probably went because I was in trouble and I was trying to get back in good graces with her, but I went. Proof that you can go to church with not the best of motives and you can still meet a life-changing God that can do work in your life. Never quit coming to church. So we go to Glad Tidings Assembly of God. It was in a little bit of a small place back off. It was hard to find. It was in a residential area. We go in there. There's maybe 30 people there. I mean, there ain't nobody there at all. But when we get there, man, something happened. The music started, and I'm telling you, this lady was playing the piano. She was about 4'5". She had that pretty blonde hair. Her name was Shirley Evans, and she was playing that sucker like Jerry Lee Lewis. Boy, I ain't never heard nobody playing the piano like that. She was playing the Bumblebee Boogie, man. And I remember the song. They were singing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And it was not leaning, leaning. It was like leaning, leaning. And Shirley had rings on all of her fingers, and she had to take them rings off and lay them up on top of the piano because she would sling them off while she was playing. She was singing. She was singing, had a microphone right here, had one of them yellow foam balls over it. You know what I'm talking about? And she was backed off about that far, and when she opened it, like the doors blew open when she started singing. And then I looked over there, and Jennifer's dad was playing the slide trombone over there. And then beside him playing the slide trombone was that hair jacked up to Jesus again. This girl playing a fiddle, y'all, in the church house. I thought that was against the rules. This music is going, and people are clapping, and people are patting their feet. And once in a while, somebody go, woo! Like, and I was like looking around. I was a Baptist boy. But these people had joy. These people had fun. Something was happening that I had never, ever experienced before. And I later learned that the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. And those people were really singing praise to God with passion and energy. And they were singing of his goodness. And his presence came down. And I'm telling you, I had never experienced the Holy Spirit like I did that day. It was crazy. It just blew me away. And then the preacher gets up there. Brother John Wayne Smith was his name. I liked him because he's like named with John Wayne, y'all. Like, I ain't been off the ranch in Guthrie very long. I'm still pretty rough at this point, you know. And where that, he's got a little pot belly, and he wore him a suit and a tie and had that hair going back, Pentecostal looking hair too. And man, that sucker would get to preaching, and when he preaching, he'd talk faster than me. And sometimes he'd just get to talking like this. And he'd get to, he had this little dance, get to going, glory to God. And I didn't know what he was saying, but it was good anyway. I'm just saying. And I just like, whoa! Because I was used to the guy standing behind the pulpit giving the 3-point lecture. Brother Smith started preaching, man, and I mean, it just stirred me in my soul. I was like, man, I like this. I can serve God. I want to be this passionate about the Lord because God, and man, it's just an amazing time. And tell you another funny story. We loved old John Smith, and one day he had an altar call at the church. In case you don't know what that is, we don't do much anymore, but back in the day, at the end of service, you would ask people, you need to come down to pray. And they had altars down there. And so whatever day that was, me and Jennifer go to the front to pray. I'm sure I was in trouble. But anyway, we knelt down on our knees and was praying in the chair of the front row up there. And I'm like an old coyote. I'm telling you, I'm a Baptist boy. I ain't never been to no Pentecostal church before. And so I'm kind of sort of praying, but then I'm looking around to see what's going on behind me. And Brother Smith, the preacher, he starts laying hands on people that are praying over there. Well, I love Brother Smith, but then they had this song leader. And this song leader was a little squirrely, y'all. I ain't lying to you. I ain't sure which way he went. I still don't know for sure. He little old limp-wristy guy. He's lead worship, you know. And so next thing I know, he comes down and starts laying hands on people. I said to Jennifer, I said, babe, it's okay if Brother Smith wants to pray for us. But if that squirrely sunbuck lays his hands on me, I'm going to slap his hands off of me. Tubby said, amen, let's go. She got me up and to the back we went. It was a day, man. I'd never experienced it before. And since then, I just started serving and seeking. And I went back to that thing. That was almost 30 years ago. Sometimes life gets tough. Sometimes even your preacher struggles with doubt sometimes. Sometimes you even struggle with being falsely accused and with things. And so I just know over the years, man, many, 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 many times with my kids, I go back. Take them to the supper table like Granddaddy Red. Just go to the table. And I remember how much I loved Jennifer and how we fell in love and it sparked our marriage. And then I just look back at that time when I remember experiencing the love and the power of God and being overwhelmed. Those moments have carried me through so many struggles and trials. And you know what I want to say to you today? You and I got to tap into those moments ourselves. You and I got to tap into them. See, you know what the enemy does to us? Because many of us are this way. We've had some bad stuff happen to us. We've been mistreated. Maybe things didn't go the way we want them to go. And you know what the devil talks us into doing? Only focusing on the negative and the bad memories and the bad moments. Some of us in this room today, right now, you came in with bad memories, with bad moments. Your whole life, every one of your relationships, your spiritual journey is built on what bad moments happen in the back. Can I tell you, if you will just open up your eyes to some new things and you will get over some of the negative things, I promise there are greater things in your life. There's more good things than there are bad things, and you need to tap into those moments, remember them with the brain God has given you, and allow them to push you forward to what God has for you in 2025. So here's what we do. These moments, they're gifts from God. Here's what I want you to do. Next week, I'll give you a little insight. Here's something for you to do some homework. Next week, we're going to look at creation. Genesis 1 and 2. You can read that. You say, Cody, I need something to read this week. Read Genesis 1 and 2. We're going to look at creation. I'm going to give you a little insight. Can you imagine what it was like when Adam and Eve woke up out of their deep sleep and saw the Garden of Eden and everything God had created for them? It had to be a moment. So read that with us next week. Read that. And this next week, ask God to help you. Ask God to help you. God, bring to remembrance these moments in my life. So Christmas time was, a few weeks back, and Jennifer did what all you women do. She starts getting Christmas decorations out. And in that, she was moving some dressers. She was rearrange the house. And she started going through some old dresser drawers. And Jennifer actually found some old love letters that I wrote her years ago. Aww. And so I go home, and she's telling me, she goes, look at this. And you know what she said? She goes, you were a whole lot sweeter back then than you are now. I'm like, well, I'm trying, babe. But so these letters, and she would read them, and I read them, and it brought us back to moments when I was in Arizona, and it brought us back to time before we got married and after we got married. And she still, now she has them taped up on the dresser and taped up where she puts her makeup on and in the bathroom, and just so many things. She just reminding us of these sacred moments. You know what else she found? Pictures, man. You did pictures, man. Look at your pictures. You have this phone. How many of you have, like, zero memory on your phone because it's full of pictures? Scroll back to the top. Look at them. I found some in between services while ago when I was going to Sale Barn with my two boys and my granddad, my other granddad, Granddaddy Donald. Just moments, man, when you look at them and my boys are little and my granddad's there, just go back. Jennifer's flipping through. She's looking through the dressers and she found this little picture folder. It's a small one. And maybe y'all don't know this, but my youngest son, Jesse, When he was 3 years old, we had been out camping and cooked some biscuits outside, and there was a big campfire going, and Jesse fell into that fire, and he had second and third degree burns on his hands and both arms. And we had to go to Lubbock to the burn center, and it was a big ordeal. And so Jennifer found this album. And I remember her wanting to take pictures of his hands, and I remember it made me mad at the time. I was like, get out of here. We don't know pictures of this. And she goes, no, we need to remember this. Because she said the Lord's going to touch him through all this, and we need to look back and see how bad it was. And so in the dresser, she opened up those pictures, and one of Jesse's hands, it's just a big, huge blister. Big one, and they had to cut that thing off, and there's blood in pictures. There's blood running down his fingers. Most horrible, gut-wrenching things. But then I sat up here on the front row today, and I watched Jesse with his hands that the Lord has touched and healed, playing the bass, bringing glory to God. And that's a moment when I can look back and go, God ain't never left us, and God is never going to forsake us. Conrad, worship team, come help me close this thing down. Moments. We're going to talk about three things over the next 18 weeks. Moments with God. You got to have them. You got to have moments with God. You can go to church all you want to go to church. You can read scripture all you want to read scripture. You can pray all you want to pray. And if you just go through those things, are all great. But if you don't have a personal encounter with God, sooner or later, your spiritual life will be dry, mundane, and religion, and you're just going through the motions. Can I tell you this? Look at me. Look. Date your spouse. Don't tell me you ain't got time. No. You can make time. You can make time, make it easy, go outside, have a picnic, have moments with your spouse. Because if you just get married and you just do the work and you just do the work and you're living life together, sooner or later, your marriage will get dry, religious, and crusty. Hang out with your kids. Spend time with your kids. Moments. We're going to talk about having moments with God. We're going to talk about having moments with others. And then we're going to talk about moments that we can have sometimes with just ourselves in a quiet place. And would you bow your heads with me? Let's let these moments strengthen us, encourage us, and give us wisdom. Let's draw from past moments, and then let's commit to creating new moments. Holy Spirit, you said in the Word of God, you bring all things to remembrance. In our memories and in our minds, Lord, I pray right now you would block out negative thoughts. You would stop the bad memories and the bad moments from the past. That we would stop and we would just open our hearts and our minds, and Holy Spirit, you would remind us of a moment with our dad. You would remind us of a moment with our grandmother. You would remind us of a moment with our spouse. You would remind us of a moment with you. Let those past moments encourage us and let us draw strength from them. And then, Lord, let us commit to creating new moments. To creating new moments, new things, new opportunities, new ideas. Father, we love you. We look forward to this next year. We look forward to more powerful and mighty moments. Speak to us as we close in worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, stand up on your feet and let's close with worship.